big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
No, and welcome to the latest scintillating episode. Oh, my microphone's gone funny. Microphone stand. I hold it like Rod Stewart, you know. Yeah. And John
well,
does
you look
a
Daltrian. Like Rod Stewart.
I look like Rod Stewart.
Yeah, very much so.
It's
yeah.
the hair. It's the hair. Yeah. So, John.
Yes.
You all right, mate?
I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah.
Oh, good. So that was my subtle mic check.
There. Oh, I see.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd fucking say something.
We haven't prepared a sound check today.
Well, no, we have, but it's bloody different every time.
When I was talking about the roadworks going through Pangbourne, so you could get a level.
I know, but you know what it's like. It's all fine, and then as soon as we go into it, it stops working. Yeah. Anyway, so today we're going to actually. I suppose sort of review, discuss.
Do a review, yeah.
Two reviews.
Yeah, because I saw a review of yours. I saw a review of yours on Twitter.
Oh, an old one?
An old review, yes, because the excellent Twitter account that posts old editions of Kerrang.
There's also one of Sounds I pop up.
Yeah, there's one in Sounds as well, yes. But the Kerrang one's better, obviously. And you were reviewing the singles. God knows why you were reviewing the singles. You never reviewed the singles.
Oh, well, that was like 85 or something.
No,
so
it wasn't.
Pre-fame.
No, bullshit. It wasn't 85 because of the singles that were on it. It was some sort of stupid Lou Reed thing. And I thought, he's doing it again. He's reviewing the Kerrang singles and he's going on about Lou Reed.
Single of the week.
Single of the week.
A very good rock
and
song.
But there were other singers that were like... singles by heavy metal bands.
Were there, though?
I'm sure there were.
No.
There definitely were.
No, I'll tell you what there was, because I remember there was a Jim Steinman.
Jim Steinman, which is excellent.
Which
tonight
got like a co-single of the... Yeah, it was a much bigger...
co-single of the
It
week.
Got a much bigger
Nonsense.
Review. It
well,
got a much
so
bigger
it should,
review.
It's Kerrang, mate.
Well, I'd take Lou Reed over Jim Steinman any day.
Well, yeah, but it's because... Because you're not metal.
Because I've got a rock and roll heart.
It's because you're not metal.
No, I'm not metal.
No,
that's
exactly.
right. I am
you
many things.
Be.
Well, I should be. Oh, I see. Right, so now that we've established that...
Well, it leads us into the subject we're going to talk about, doesn't it? Lou Reed is a collaborator
of
this band we're going to talk about. Is that right or wrong? Have I got the wrong show? Have I got the wrong person? Are we here to talk about Sounds in 1976 or something?
You mean the album that Lou Reed did with Metallica?
I do.
About 12 years ago.
It was more than 12 years ago.
It wasn't. It was like 2011. And then he died in 2013.
Yeah, died.
So I wasn't really using Lou Reed to get into Metallica, What I was going to say is we're looking at two albums. One is the new Metallica, 72 Seasons.
Yes. Hence my link.
I thought there were four. Shut up about Lou Reed. I thought there were four seasons.
Four seasons in one.
I'm talking about Metallica's new album just out, or just about
the
to
yellow,
come out, whatever.
The yellow album.
And you're talking about a Lou Reed single from the 80s.
Yeah, but you know they had the black album.
Oh, yeah.
I think of this one as the yellow album.
It's true, actually.
Because
it's very yellow, isn't it?
All of the stuff is yellow. And yet, why is it all yellow? I don't know.
I suppose they ran out of black.
Yeah, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Fade to yellow.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard they left it off the album because I think they're going to release it as a single in the summer. They've done a special Metallica. You know how they do great cover versions.
They should do some more of those.
Well, they've done Tie a Yellow Ribbon around the old...
Yeah, round the old rock tree.
Try yellow ribbon. Round the old oak tree. That's better than anything on the album, to be honest.
There you go.
That is much better.
You just pulled that riff out your arse and it's better than anything they've done.
Well, it sounds exactly like everything they've done on this album.
Yeah.
So,
the Yellow Album.
We've both given it a very lengthy, serious listen.
On Spotify.
Yeah, me while sitting on the loo this morning, flicking through it. And I thought that track one, the very first track, which as everybody knows is the title track.
Well, it's set the scene 72 seasons. Yeah. Now, I did read on, I'm sure it's probably Twitter or something.
Something authoritative.
They explained that the 72 seasons, if you know your sums, 4 times 18 is 72.
Yeah.
So it represents the first 18 years of your life. So it's a bit of a concept album.
So it's about the first 18 years of your life.
The first 18 years of your life. So the first song's about the first 2 years of your life.
Is it really?
Yeah, the diaper years. Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Fuck off. Is that why it's yellow album? For, like, baby clothes?
Baby shit.
Okay, so you're saying
So the first song you got a picture of very young stars.
Okay, but track three is Screaming Suicide.
Yeah, that's
what,
when you...
At what point in their youth...
That's the terrible twos, the tantrum, toddler tantrums.
Okay.
Toddler tantrums.
Okay, You Must Burn?
Yeah, that's getting into, you're obviously getting into 12, 13 there.
Okay, and the terribly titled Crown of Barbed Wire.
Yeah, that's
to distinguish it from
poetry.
Crown of Thorns.
Teenage poetry, isn't it? I am the only 16-year-old on earth.
Right.
Who understands
as written by some 60-year-old men.
As written by 60-year-old James Hetfield from San Francisco.
Oh. And then there's the final track is Inamorata. What's that
thing? Inamorata.
I don't know how you say it.
Inamorata.
Inamorata.
Yeah, that's why Mick Wall's on backing vocals on this one. Track goes on for 18 minutes.
I tried to show him. It's Inamorata. Yeah, go on. Anyway, what's that about?
Well, Inamorata, it's about love, isn't it? It's about their first love.
It's about love.
Yeah, of course it is.
Love?
Of course it is. Well, it's about first love. It's about, fancying a girl. That's what it's about.
Ooh.
Definitely. I'm telling you.
Ooh.
I'm telling you now.
Ooh. Fair dues.
Yeah.
Fair dues, my friend.
Can I say that's only my interpretation of what it's about?
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
So it's
for
not
sure.
Authoritative.
Well, it is authoritative I've come up with it.
Well, let me tell you what I think it's about.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Having
your long experience of Metallica.
My long...
Because you turned up in the studio for Master of Puppets going, ooh, what's this one about, James? Master of Puppets is pulling the strings!
Do you know, actually, that you read my mind.
Thank you.
Because the anecdote I was about to give you, which I think totally relates to this.
Yeah.
You got to let me explain it. Don't jump in. Let me get to the end. This, to me, in essence, sounds like Metallica going... What do Metallica fans want? What do Metallica fans expect from a Metallica album? And when artists get to that stage, I've lost interest. Whereas you go back to Master of Puppets, which for me was the high point of it. It's what made them special, what made them different. They don't recreate any of that on this. And I'll go into that in a minute why, but particularly the production. But I remember being in the studio and then afterwards me and Lars doing this sort of interview,
yes.
Drunk.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was saying to him, because I was new to the whole Metallica thing.
You were new to interviewing people.
And I said, no, just this music. And I said, I'm baffled. I said, you come up with these amazing riffs, like on the Trackmaster.
Yeah.
I said, but about halfway through you just stop and just go off into this waffly bit and then another long beer, and then...
This was an actual question. This is how you phrased the question.
Yeah, I said, why do you do that?
Yeah.
I said, why don't you just do the riff and make a great song, as opposed to one great riff, but now we're going to add another 4 minutes here and there of, completely different, irrelevant stuff. And he was completely flummoxed. He was like, but that's what we do. That's Metallica.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but why?
Yeah.
And, of course, I know now, because... They were boys who loved their metal, and that's how metal bands did it, wasn't it? 8 minutes, where 3 minutes would have been perfectly acceptable.
Exactly.
Well, they seem to be doing that again here, but
Ooh.
But with far less positive results. for instance, I don't know who produced this. I meant to look it up. I don't know if you know, but
I don't know.
Well, encyclopedic.
Unless
knowledge.
Someone's put it on Twitter, I'm probably not going to know.
All right. Well, let's be Fleming honest. Rasmussen,
he
produced Master.
He did. Well, wasn't it like? He didn't, he, but then they kind of downgraded him, didn't they?
Not on Master.
Not on
no.
Master. They did
no,
on
they
the
were
like,
still
the
doing
net,
what the fuck
yeah,
they were told
yeah,
on Master.
Yeah, exactly. These, you can tell all these things. All of a sudden, it's like the next one's like co produced by Lars Ulrich or something.
Well, no, the next one was when they got in Mike.
Mike Clink.
Yeah,
no.
Because.
Was it Mike Clink? No, yeah. That was Guns N' Roses.
No, yeah, because Lars was obsessed with Appetite for Destruction. And he wanted.
That's when he got his jacket, Hagen's white Axl
yes,
Rose jacket.
Yes.
Yeah.
James Hetfield hated working with Mike Clink, hated Guns N' Roses.
Hated Appetite for Destruction.
But Lars was like, hey, that's what we should be doing.
Goonies, you know. White jacket.
So here's the thing, Master of Puppets, the drums, I always go to call it the percussion because it's really percussive. It's really good. And even though they have the waffly bits and it goes on for hours, it's done really, really well. And also, it's not just the same song slightly reconfigured. They have Orion, which is this beautiful symphonic instrumental.
Let me throw the name.
They also have Leper Messiah.
Yeah, Leper.
Fucking Messiah. Yeah, but
that's the sort of thing you used to write on your exercise book at school.
Yeah, but it would be
Leper Messiah.
Yeah, but it started atmospheric.
Yeah, it did.
And,
yeah.
Like,
but
none of that on this.
How much of that was Cliff Burton, though? Because Cliff was the one who kind of pushed them, you know, to not just do what you said, which is the 3-minute riff and then write another song or make this bit another song. They're like, no, let's make these two bits one song and let's call it Leper Messiah. And then all of a sudden it's cool.
Yes, but I think they were still creating art. They didn't have a template. They'd never had a single.
Yeah, but what I'm asking you is what was the influence of Cliff at this point?
Well, obviously massive. Yeah. Obviously massive. Although he wasn't per se one of the main songwriters, the fact that James worshipped him and that Lars absolutely saw the value in that he couldn't best Cliff at anything. Lars can best, especially in those days, could best most people with his European sensibility and the fact that he was privately educated. I mean, all that came into play in the thrash metal scene.
He did,
of LA.
And the fact he was good at tennis. Because that's how they used to settle their disputes. It's like him and Mustaine. Right, like,
Are you serious?
Yeah, they'd
argue. What, 40 love?
Yeah, they used to have, like, five sets of tennis.
I'll give you deuce, my advantage!
Five sets of tennis, and, you know...
Five sets of tennis!
Lars would give him, you know, five love up in each set, still beating, with one hand tied behind his back.
Yeah, and that's when Cliff would
Mustaine would just get angrier and angrier.
Oh, Mustaine, sorry. Mustaine would drop kick him with a karate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Master of Puppets, they were still on a journey. They hadn't achieved. They didn't know what Metallica
specifically was.
But that was 85 they recorded that album. So was it 38 years later. Yeah. This is what they think they should be doing. And I think if you take, like, for me, probably the best track is the single. What's it called again?
It's called something like Lux Aeterna or something like that.
Lux Nicturna.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it. It must be here on the fucking album somewhere. I don't fucking know. Lux Iota, whatever it's fucking called. A dreadful title again. But it's 3 minutes. That's pretty darn good. The rest of the album is all 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. And the most, for me, the most brain-pummeling part of it is the drums.
Yeah.
It's that huge sound that I think they first, bizarrely, came close to maybe on
And Justice for All.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they just turned up the drums.
Lars's drums have become like Steve Harris's bass used to be in Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
The loudest thing you can hear.
Yeah,
because I'm the guy. I'm not actually the best musician, but I'm the guy in terms of got to listen to me.
Yeah.
So it's all like, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Like that. Yeah.
Because it seems to me they've gone more thrash.
Yeah, because
that's what the kids want. But it's a sort of a fullback position where actually I'm sure they could do something. Well, but mind you, they've done all the kind of
they've done
a collection of their numbers with the Royal Philharmonic and all that. And they've done
they cut their hair, went gay, and did load and reload.
Yeah,
they did Saint Anger, which I know I'm the only person in the whole world that admires that album, but. To me, that was still art. Yeah, people didn't like it, but at least it was trying to do something new. Yeah.
They did that one where I got locked in a room by Kaz Mercer and had to listen to.
Which one was that?
I don't know, but it really went on forever.
Not Death Magnetic.
Oh, yeah, Death Magnetic. That's fucking what it's called.
Wasn't it terrible shit title.
Yeah, and a terrible shit album.
Yeah.
That lasted for about 90 minutes.
Oh, it was awful.
It was really
awful. There wasn't
even
one track.
And they're playing it to you like it's like... We've just discovered this thing. It's called music. No one in humanity has ever heard this music before.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
And you're the first. Yeah.
All right, Lars.
Yeah. Just think, you run out of ideas. You're just trying to do what you did before.
Yeah. And that was their... With more
money.
Death Magnetic was like their first album for several years. First one out since St. Anger, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Well, they've been the Philharmonic or some bollocks, covers and shit. But the first actually knew him for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do another one again.
Here's a question for you. Do they bar one another from making solo albums?
I think probably Hetfield does because he's such a control freak.
Because
and Lars is also a control freak. I, for one,
would be much more up for four solo albums. Even like Kiss released on the same day. Yeah. Will you buy Stars or will you buy James or will you buy Kirk or will you buy Robert or whatever his name is?
Trujillo!
I'd buy, Trujillo's going to do some kind of Jaco Pastorius style bass album, isn't he? Because he's a bit of a virtuoso. Stars. I'll tell you what Stars do. He'd get loads of guests.
He'd have Axel,
he'd have... He'd have, you know, David Lee Roth. He'd have, like... He'd have some people from the New Wobbum. So he'd probably have, like... He'd probably have Dave Lee Roth on one track. And then he'd have Biff Byford on the next track.
See, I'm feeling that.
So it would be good.
That's what
Stars should do.
Yeah.
And then Kirk would do, like, a kind of Satriani style, like, slightly hippie.
Very hippie.
Very hippie, on his ranch. But, it'd be, like...
Just
songs
had an edible.
Songs to say om to.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd get it.
Yeah.
You'd get some free aromatherapy with the album and all of that. You know, you get Kirk would do.
Yeah.
Kirk would be on the cover. He'd look like a Buddha in your garden. He'd have the hair and it'd be Kirk, but he'd be a Buddha statue.
You'd get some free, what was it called? The stuff you put on your hair?
Minoxidil
or whatever the fuck it was.
I thought
Inner Monata.
Yeah.
Whatever it was called.
So his would be great. And then Hetfield's would just probably just sound like a Metallica album.
Or meets Ted
or else, or, yeah, yeah. Or else he makes a southern rock album with sort of Johnny Van Zant or something.
At last.
Yeah.
And it's called Killing Bears.
He relocates his family to Arkansas, you know, and that's the last he's seen. Zach Wilde would be on it.
Yeah. On the single, MAGA.
Yeah.
MAGA of puppets.
Yeah.
Magalica.
So that to me would be far more entertaining and probably far more lucrative given that it's four albums in one day. And it would be brilliant. All of a sudden, the Metallica people do a solo album.
But do you know what Lars's real wet dream is?
Just for him to take over Metallica.
Just to step out, come like Dave Grohl. Come out from the drum, show who the real star always was.
Do a Grohl,
strum
straight
a guitar.
Phil Collins.
Straight Phil Collins. Yeah, exactly.
Like Phil did. Sing all of Genesis' songs, but then also have a solo career.
A bigger solo career that drags your group up to that level.
And then do the classic thing where, like Don Henley and the Eagles, where they have to start performing your solo hits, and you stand there each night while they're playing Boys of Summer Game. Yeah. Fuck you.
And finally they'll be able to get a proper drummer. You know, because they've got to have someone.
They get two drummers like Phil Collins again. Yeah, they used to. Genesis got Chester Thompson,
yeah,
who would drum while Phil was singing, but then Phil would go back on the drums for certain numbers. Yeah.
I like that. Is Chester still around?
Chester, because
he could do a bit of dun 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 dun.
That's Chester's gig. You know, they would get Dave Lombardo, wouldn't they, or someone like that?
Oh, that might be a bit of a showings for the boy.
Yeah, it might, but then, you know.
Mind you, he'd jump at it, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Lombardo.
That's food for thought.
It's all of that. All of those ideas I've just come up with.
You just came up with.
Them doing four solo albums. Bouncing off me. Four solo albums and all of that. All of those are better than the album they've just done.
Okay, let's look for some positives. I like the guitar. Kirk's really come on a long way.
He's not bad on the old guitar now.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Kirk. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's
pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I like what he's doing. But the rest of it does sound... like I say, I was waiting for a Leper Messiah or even a One.
Yeah.
You know, or Nothing Else Matters.
Yeah, they're never... James isn't going to do something like that anymore, is he?
But why not?
Because Bob Rock's not there to write it, to help him produce.
But they wouldn't even want to, would they? I don't think... This is the point, really, is that the overwhelming
Can I just interject? I'm sure we'll mention you're this interject. On another like pod. You. But you know who Bob Rock's in the studio with at the moment?
Motley Crue.
The Crue. He's in the studio with the Crue.
That'll be worth
listening to.
Because it will break new ground artistically.
Right, yeah.
It won't sound like the old Motley Crue.
And you just think, how bored must Bob Rock be at home to think, I've got 3 months of listening to Vince Neil try and sing, you know, trying to make Vince Neil sound.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
Yeah, but
I tell you what, I'm going to interject.
Yeah, but someone's still got to do it. I know what you're going to say, but someone's still got to do it.
Yes, but these days it's more fun for producers because you don't need the geezer in the room. You can get your fucking engineer to just get Vince to just fucking
see. That would be amazing if you get Vince to
do all the songs in one day. Yeah. Then I'll come in tomorrow and fix it.
Yeah,
no, that's what Kevin Shirley does.
Yeah,
like with Joe Bonamassa.
Right,
Joe Bonamassa. He says Joe's got such a he's so bored so quickly, so easily. He just gets him in the studio, 3 days max, and then see you later, Joe. And then Kevin does all the rest on his computer.
Right, yeah.
And I was in the studio once with Joey Bones.
Did you make a contribution?
I'd said, look, if ever you want to learn how to play proper guitar,
you know where
to find me.
Yeah.
None of your fucking diddly diddle deedle doddle day, you know? Yeah. Fucking riff, mate. Where's your riff?
Yeah.
So, no, he was contributing. He was doing a guitar solo on a track by that Australian singer who's huge over there but nowhere else.
Jimmy Barnes. Yeah.
And it's all done. It literally gets that bit where you need the scintillating guitar part.
Yeah.
And Joe hasn't really listened to the song. He just knows he's got to do a scintillating guitar part. And it's like a Saturday morning in Amsterdam or something. Everyone's going at something.
Amsterdam.
So he says to Kevin, how about if I just, you know, for 5 minutes, and then it goes, then you can figure it out later. Kevin,
I want to go to the Rijksmuseum. So let's get this done.
Hey, the Van Gogh museum is open on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Opens at midday. Yeah, can we get a fucking chop,
mate? Yeah.
I'll give you 10 minutes of my best bollocks, and then you figure it out.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah,
and that's what we did. That's what. And it was great. He sat there. I sat next to him watching him, and it was just like, wee.
But this was the whole. This was back in the day, back in the analog day. This was the whole Mutt Lang thing, wasn't it? Of that he would even, you know, you record a chord note by note, mm-hmm. and then you piece it together
sometimes,
on the tape,
string by string.
Yeah, so, and then you piece it together. That's effectively it. But now, as you say, with samples and all of that, if Vince. Yeah, Vince, as he goes torturously through the notes, at some point he'll come into tune and you just take that bit and, you know.
Or you just do what Mutt Lange used to do and get your ex-wife in to do the vocals and just blend it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who was that? Do you remember Paul Sabu?
Oh, yeah.
But Jeff Barton used to worship Paul Sabu.
God knows why.
Because he wrote sort of chest-beating AOR anthems.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But he did an album... Do you remember there was a woman called Alexa?
Wasn't Paul Sabu something to do with Tarzan?
Yes.
His dad was
Tarzan in Hollywood, yeah. So, And
he used to do that himself.
Yeah, all his albums began that way.
It was his second album, Me, Tarzan, You, Jay.
Yeah, Me, Tarzan, You, Alexa. Well, the rumour was that... because Alexa had this kind of quite deep voice. It was a brilliant AOR record.
Alexa is a woman.
Yeah, it's a woman. Yeah. But the rumour was that it was just Sabu and he tuned his vocals up. Yeah. Because it kind of had that weird sort of... I think that was later disproved. But,
disproved by the existence of a woman called Alexa.
You were in the same way that I proved Matthew Tripp was in Motley Crue.
Which he was, for
which
the
he
record.
Definitely was, and you know, Doc McGee came to accept that.
As did Nicky.
As Nicky does even today.
Nicky
Tripp still writes me little notes of thanks. Thank you for revealing that.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, dude.
All the best.
I just get these envelopes. Just comes, dude, and then my address.
Yeah. Well, that would
know
be that, enough.
I know that's from Nicky.
Dude, Millionaires
just,
Row.
Just dude.
UK.
Yeah, and it comes to me.
Hello, UK.
Yeah.
So, deep dive then, clearly, on the Metallica.
Yeah, now you know what to think of the Metallica.
I'm going to give you a detailed track-by-track analysis.
Okay,
so, there's the opening track, 72 Seasons.
Rubbish.
Well, no, opening bit, which sounds exactly, you know, in Pulp Fiction, the opening scene, and then Tim Roth is, or the one, Tim Roth's bird in the movie, and I kill every one of you, motherfucker.
Dick Dale. Yeah.
Beginning of 72 Seasons is just exactly that.
Right.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, it's
they've gone surf. They're going to do a 60s surf.
They're doing something different.
Yeah.
And it goes on. Of course, that's the other thing. All the intros go on and on and on. You're like, when does it begin? And then, of course, it begins. You'll never guess how it goes. Fucking hell. So I did push it along to the middle to see if it changed.
No.
To the end, no.
No.
So there's that. Then there's Shadows Follow.
Right, yeah. Well, they would do because that's kind of how shadows work.
Yeah. And I literally can't remember anything about that other than I was listening thinking, is this still 72 Seasons? Oh, no, we are. It is the next track. Ugh, you know. Then there's Screaming Suicide.
Yeah, which you mentioned earlier.
See, I know, okay, it's a concept album about a young person. But I just find it, there's a disconnect for me with these grown-up multi-millionaires.
Yeah.
Writing a song called Screaming, I mean, number one, who the fuck screams suicide?
Yeah.
You know, a note, maybe a note.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do get, I mean, I take your point. It's like, how do you get yourself back in that mindset? How do you get yourself in the mindset of the person that wrote Master of Puppets?
Yeah, well, that was a great song. You could be 60-year-old now and write that, and that would still have meaning.
Yeah, but would you be able to? That's the question. And
clearly
the answer
not.
Is not. Yeah.
Clearly not.
The answer is no.
Right, and then we go on to Sleepwalk My Life Away.
Yeah.
I mean, again, You Must Burn, I quite like that because it was slightly different.
Slightly shorter.
Is it?
I don't know.
I'll soon tell you that. Hang on.
I don't think you've got the rights to play that. Can everyone not listen, please? We haven't got the rights to play that.
That's over 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
I kept skipping through.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any vocals. I thought, oh, is it an instrumental?
Yeah, like Orion.
Was that an instrumental? Yeah, of course.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Orion was amazing. Built on a Bach...
Bach and Mozart intertwining. Yeah, sort of a Mach.
Mozart Alica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work. Okay, so you must... It's intriguing, but it's 7 fucking minutes. Yeah. So then the next one is Lux Eterna.
Are we really going through every track?
Yes. Okay. Lux Eterna, good single.
I don't think it is a good single. I have to take issue
ooh,
with you. It's a single without a chorus. It's one of those ones where they get to where the chorus should be and James Hetfield just shouts out Lux Eterna.
Really?
Yeah, that's my view.
Huh. See, now, if it was a classic single, you'd begin with the chorus.
It's not the sort of chorus that would pass the Steve Perry chorus check, you know.
No, but then not many songs would pass that check.
No.
You could say that about Iron Maiden.
Yeah, you could to a degree. But, I mean, at least, you know, bring your daughter to the slaughter. In broad terms, that is a chorus.
See, Journey, if they were to revive Bring Your Daughter to the... It could be, you know... And then the chorus would be... Slaughter! Yeah. Yeah.
That's
the song would begin.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
However
it
goes.
Multi-track, yeah. Like the start. Oh, Sherry, our love... Now there's a fucking chorus. That came on the radio the other day, and it just like
what are you listening to? Greatest Hits FM.
Might come on Spotify. I don't know.
It came on the radio.
I think if that is the radio, just put it on the car.
Yeah, that's iHeart 80s.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that young person's channel. Right, and then there's Crown of Barbed Wire. Which, again, what a terrible fucking title.
That's what you get in B&Q, Crown
of
Barbed Wire.
They could have made it Baseball Cap of Barbed Wire.
B&Q, Crown of Barbed Wire, $5.99. Does the top of your fence perfectly.
Absolutely. Or
keep the local youth out.
You go into Tesco's, you get a meal deal, you get a sandwich, a bag of Crown of Barbed Wire crisps, and a Coke. So I seem to remember that was okay, but I think again I thought, is this an instrumental? Because I kept skipping and I couldn't find vocals. Then there's Chasing Light, which does seem to have some sort of refrain. I'm not going to say chorus, but there is a sort of repetition, emphasis, something like that. Then there's If Darkness Had a Son. I don't even remember this. If Darkness Had a Son.
You know what that makes me think of? Dennis Wheatley, To the Devil a Daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
good. And the follow-up, If Darkness Had a Son.
Yeah. And then, and I can't... I mean, what, you know, if Twilight Had a Cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Morning Had a Memory...
Couldn't even think of a relation.
I couldn't, no. If
Morning Had an Uncle.
Yeah. If Fog had a grey cape. No. If Fog had a friend.
Yeah.
If Fog
the friend of,
had a friend.
Friend of Fog.
Yeah.
That's it.
If the night... was your next door neighbour.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good one.
That's a keeper.
Okay, and then, so Too Far Gone. I seem to remember Too Far Gone was quite good. We're not breaking any... That could have been from any album.
Exactly.
Any album, any time.
Could have been anything.
Must have been Room of Mirrors I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that reminded me a little bit of... sort of Thin Lizzy gone mad.
Yeah. Well, they like the Lizzy, don't they, Metallica?
They do.
Fans there's, of the Lizzy.
There's one that's very, very Sabbath, though.
Right. That's this one. That, yes, that'll be the one.
That's Generals. Inamorata. How do you say
Inamorata.
It? How do you say it?
Inamorata.
Inamorata. What's yeah. that, Latin for lesbian? If you'll lesbians knew Latin.
Yeah, you'll have to ask Tony Iommi that.
Right,
Tony would be like, oh, in I don't know, Amorata. Someone just suggested it to
how me. How many baseball cap-wearing 15-year-olds in Omaha are going to know what the fuck, even how to say that?
How many,
hey,
you know,
dude, hey, we're going to play Inamora.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favourite track? Inamora. Inamora Ada.
Yeah.
Inamora.
This is the guy that's going to buy James Hetfield's solo album that he records in Arkansas.
What was the guy who did the music for Sergio? Oh, no.
Sergio Moroni.
No, the music. Ennio Morricone.
Yes.
I was at Johnny Z's house in about 87 with our old friend, Moisha. The late, great Ray Palmer.
Oh, he was there.
And Moisha was there as well, obviously, because we're at the home. And because Johnny always said it was him that introduced Metallica to, you know, Ennio Morricone and
right.
that whole
yeah.
area of music. And I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He going, so, you like Morricone? I was like, what? Thinking, what, New Land?
Or lunch or something.
Yeah, Morricone.
Yeah,
what?
You like the Morricone
yeah,
with your pasta?
Yeah, pasta's yeah. good, yeah. You like Morricone? I was yeah. like, sorry, what? He goes, Morricone, come on, who don't like Morricone? And I'm going, looking at Ray, going, what the fuck's he talking about, you know? And then he put it on. And I went, oh, you mean Morricone? Yeah. Without realising it might be an embarrassing moment for him because it was Johnny, so it's no embarrassment whatsoever. Yeah. What I said, Morricone! Yeah. So, all in all, I'd have to say, if I was a record company, I'd be quite pleased with this record. But apart from, I can never remember what it's called. What's the
Inamorata.
Single called again?
Lux.
Lux. Lux.
Eterna.
Yeah. Eterna.
Yeah.
That's the only track I could imagine, you know, marketing.
Yeah, and you know about marketing.
Well, no,
look,
these
mate,
days that's all they're interested
slap
in.
Slap a bit of yellow on it. Put it out there. It's fine. You know, these days in marketing, you just need a Twitter icon.
I mean, look, here's the cover. It's yellow. It looks like a baby's playpen.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's probably something to do with Armageddon or something. I don't know. What
no,
is
I
that?
Think it's just a baby's playpen.
Nah, get out of it. Is it? A baby's playpen with some sort of weird...
With the devil.
I mean, what the fuck
it's probably
is
got
it?
Crusher's devil baby in.
Now that...
That would be good.
That would be
that
good.
That would be good.
Why don't they do a real Metallica... they should do a Metallica album called Metal.
Or just Devil's Baby.
Yeah.
That's a good title.
The Devil's... Darkness's Dirty Friend.
Yeah.
There's something... They originally... I've got it. They originally wanted to call their first album Kill 'Em All. They wanted to call it Metal Up Your Ass.
Yeah, they did.
And it was a hand coming out of a toilet with a sword.
Yeah.
That's their next move.
Well,
if they've
just
got
re-recalled
brains.
That.
No. Well, I think that's what they do anyway. Yeah. But no, just call it Metal
But
Up
do, you,
your
do
ass.
You think they'll ever do another album?
I think the problem is, who cares?
Yeah.
Seriously, who cares?
But you think it'll be, what, another 4 years or something once they come off tour?
We're
go on holiday.
10 years.
Kurt goes back to his ranch and... James goes off and does whatever.
I don't know. The truth is, I don't know. I
so
do
that,
think
by that point they'll be, you know, they'll be coming up for 70.
Yeah, 70 seasons, 70 yeah. years,
70. How right. Many? So what? 70 times 4.
280 seasons. Yeah.
So, you know, what's an album by an almost 70-year-old Metallica going to sound like?
Mm. By then, they'll have brought in AI. We might get a good record.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, here, just to end on a positive note, one thing I will say about Metallica, sort of in mitigation, is they did spend most of their career, the early first half of their career, trying to be different, trying to do something
they did.
New.
They did. And they did it. Let's be honest. They did it. They did it.
And they took a lot of flack for
it. When you think they took an extreme musical form, yeah. an extreme genre, and made it hugely commercially successful, that's astonishing. That is genuinely astonishing. Yeah. Because of the other, you know, big four, as you would call them, none of them could achieve that.
No,
because Metallica just hit on that way of making it palatable to a wider audience,
but also still interesting to a wider
still to their core audience. The core audience could still hear, even within stuff like Nothing Else Matters, what they liked about Metallica,
and also. You know,
so maybe what they need is a bit more faith in themselves. You know, to me, in being serious, this album displays a kind of
That's the alarm there, warning us we must come to the end of the show. But you finish your point.
Is that it displays a lack of faith in their creativity? Are they so worried that people will perceive them as having changed that they are now unwilling to change? Because they've cut their hair, they've changed their image, so they...
Yeah, they're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, you don't feel like they're going to... If they then change the music as well, what remains apart from the name?
Look at the kicking they got. The last thing they did that was, for me, wildly interesting and adventurous was the Lulu album with Lou Reed. And they're still... That's still a shorthand for a joke.
Yeah.
They did Load and Reload. They got killed for that. But all that to me, you know, goes back to like Garage Days revisited that 12 inch four track mini, whatever the fuck it was brilliant. You know, it was so unexpected. You couldn't see Iron Maiden or Slayer or anybody doing that. They did it.
Yeah.
And they mixed punk and they mixed metal and whatever else they thought was fun and interesting. And I think they've just gone so far over the rainbow now that, it's not about that anymore. Yeah. It's about, hey, we need a new album. We need a new product. Here's what we're going to do. And everybody lives happily ever after. Except...
Us.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, we bid you... We didn't even talk about the other thing we were going to review.
Adieu.
That'll be next time.
What was that?
Roger Waters and Pink Floyd.
Oh, fuck that.
Oh, wow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How do I stop this, Fern?